here last week. Let me share this little bit of a testimony. Gene told me about him, and he said that he heard one of our broadcasts on the radio, and he said, I cannot believe some of the things, Craig, you're going to like this, some of the things your preacher said. But he came in person, and he was amening, and he was getting into it. Come on, somebody. You know, who agrees with me? We don't live in a Pollyanna existence. We live in a real world.
Amen.
And sometimes we need to shoot straight from the hip, right? All right. Who's ready for the ministry of God's word this morning?
Amen.
All right. I like that. Bring it on. Let's open our Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. While you're turning there, we're going to kick up the Jesus snapshot of the Savior series again. And we're going to do this for a number of weeks and then go on to something different. But we're, in essence, taking the life of Jesus and doing four different installments or five different installments of four messages of his life and ministry. And so this morning we're going to restart up again with one of Jesus' parables. It is imperative, church family, that we listen to what this parable is about and the ramifications of it and the implications as well, okay? We're going to begin reading with verse 1 of chapter 22 of Matthew. Of course, it's up on the screen if you'd like to read from there. Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, fat calf, and are killed, and all these things are ready. Come to the wedding. But they made light of it and went their way, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious. And he sent out his armies. Destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not what, church family?
Worthy.
Were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guest, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to his servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Notice verse 14, for many are called, but few are chosen. I want to begin with verse 14 and then jump back up to verse 1. Okay, very interesting. Notice that verse. Don't let that verse stump you. Many are called, but few have chosen. Okay, let me break that down for you. Who agrees with me that the gospel is for whosoever's?
Amen. Amen.
God doesn't have pre-picked out people that he wants saved. How many people does God want saved?
Everyone.
For God so loved the
world.
2 Peter 3:9. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
That's right.
Right, church family?
Right.
The call and worship scripture, Romans 10:13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
That's right.
The gospel is for everyone.
Yes.
It's not for a few frozen chosen. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. We're going to look it up here. It says, thank you. He himself, Jesus, is the sacrifice that atones for our sins. And not only our sins, But the sins of whom, church family?
The world.
Of the, all the world, the whole world. Of all the world. The good news is for everyone. Now, here, Jesus likens salvation to a wedding feast. Don't you love that Jesus likens a relationship with God like a party?
Amen.
Who likes good parties?
Amen.
I don't like to attend parties where people are stupid drunk and slobbering and puking and doing all kinds of stupid things. Come on, somebody. You know what? I used to attend those. I used to stamp my passport in the land of dumb, but I don't anymore.
Amen.
Thank you. Well, Pastor Joe, I'm a sipping saint. Well, good for you. So everyone is invited to a party, and that party is called the relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I love that it's a wedding feast. Now notice, the first invitation was generic. It was to a particular, notice carefully, a particular group of people, but the invitation itself was, hey, come to the wedding feast. You are invited to the wedding feast. And then these people ignored it. I think the New International Version says they ignored the invitation. So the king sent servants again to the same people and said, listen, he broke it down and provided details. I'm going to kill the fat calf. I'm going to provide the best that I have as a meal for this wedding feast. He breaks it down further. He gets specific with that invitation as an incentive to entice the invitees, or those people who were invited to come to the wedding feast. But what happened?
They made light of it.
They made light of it. That's the New International Version. Isn't that sad, church family? People make light of something that is very serious. Who would agree with me that salvation is serious business?
Right.
I mean, good. Golly, that's heaven or hell. Yes. Pastor Joe, do you believe in hell? Darn tootin' I do.
Amen.
And you should too. You know, people have tried to erase hell in this modern day. No, it exists. And unfortunately, people still go there. Who agrees with me that no matter how bad you've been in your life, you can still go to heaven?
Amen.
That's right.
But not on your goodness, only through Jesus Christ and His saving blood.
Amen.
Thank you. And the other people, they made light of the invitation. People, do you realize people make light of Jesus these days? They mock salvation. They mock the way of truth. Oh, yeah, you're some holy roller now. Yeah. You think you're better than us. Who's ever had persecution because they said, now that you're a follower, you know, we liked you better when you were not a follower.
God, Amen.
You're lost if you... If you like me better than before I was saved, if you think I can be a pill today, oh man. You don't know me before Jesus. You don't know me. You don't know Joe B.C. before Christ. But I'm telling you, church family, people make light of it. And these people that God chose primarily for the wedding invitation are the Jews.
Yes.
But John chapter 1, verse 12 says that he came to his own, might be verse 10, he came to his own, but his own did not receive him. Mm-hmm. Who were his own? The Jews. Mm-hmm. Were they not chosen by God?
Amen.
But you know what, church family? They were more caught up in the chosen part that they forgot the part about who they were chosen to and what they were chosen for. Mm-hmm. Weren't they chosen to God and for His glory? But they lost sight of that. They were all like, look at me, I'm God's chosen. So when Jesus comes along, they said, oh no, we're already chosen. No, we don't need to go to no wedding. And you know, throughout the centuries, a lot of God's people, God would send them the prophets, and they did what to the prophets? They would kill them, persecute them. So Isaiah was sawn in two. Many were stoned to death. Many were fed to lions. Right? Mm-hmm. the Jews killed him. So the Lord said, the king said, listen, we're going to do something about this. And the Lord, just read the Old Testament prophets, was he not put out a little bit? He said, listen, I'm going to rain fire on your towns. I'm going to consume you. I'm going to pour my wrath out on you. He did it time and time and time again. And people only see the anger part of God, see the other side, how persistent he was at trying to get his people attention for salvation through Christ. Right? So now, the king says, you know what? Forget them. We're going to invite everybody. We're going to invite everybody. I love the three words that are found in our Bibles in Matthew 22. Good and bad. Actually, it says it bad and good, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. First bad. Who's thankful that Jesus invites bad people to this wedding invitation? Maybe because I can do bad all by myself. I was not a good kid when Jesus found me. I was busting hell wide open. I was going to Mexico with my uncle, my no-good-for-nothing uncle. He would lead me down. It's very interesting. He led me down a bad path, and I was exposed to things as a 14-year-old kid that I should have never been exposed to. And, you know, if you got greenbacks in Mexico, man, they don't card you. You don't need to be carded. They don't care what your age is, so long as you have the almighty dollar. And I went with him, and he corrupted me and wanted to keep going. And then the Lord got a hold of my life. And that same uncle then all of a sudden became a spiritual guru over my life. Like, you converted to Protestantism because you didn't follow the actual religion, your actual first religion, the proper way. That's messed up. Who agrees with me that some people are so messed up, they don't know light from darkness. They don't know right hand from left hand.
Amen.
They don't know good from evil. You know, a lot of people call Jesus demon-possessed.
Yeah.
How lost can a person be to call Jesus the Christ a demon-possessed man? That is horrible. Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to what? They're going to hate you. You know, there are a lot of people that love me, thankfully. Most of them are Christian, thankfully. Some Christians, they're just, we'll just leave them alone. I keep hearing your voice, Miss Lisa. If you can't say something nice about somebody, don't say anything at all. Right. Maybe I'll say it one-on-one, those rattle-rattlers. Or the Lord gives them some severe spankings. Anyway, so bad people are invited. Bad people are invited no matter what you've done, church family. No matter what path you've taken in your past. No matter if your bad path was last night. Who agrees with me that last night is in your past?
Amen.
You know, I would much rather have people that party it up on Saturday night, get stupid drunk, and are here Sunday morning at church.
Amen.
Because who agrees with me that this church follows the kingdom rules, and that is bad people always are welcome here.
Amen.
Because the truth be told, church family, apart from Jesus, is anybody good?
No.
No, we're all bad apart from Jesus. We are all bad people.
It's true.
And if you're not convinced now, just wait till you hear the end of the message. So bad people are invited. Thank God for that. Good people are invited. Luke chapter 15, verse 1 and 2. It says, Jesus welcomes sinners.
Amen.
Who's thankful for that?
Yes. Yeah.
I'm thankful for that because I is a sinner. You sure are, Pastor Joe. I would never say what you say from the pulpit. Well, I would not follow your stodgy... What's the words I'm looking for? Your overly starched shirt religion, the way you follow it. I have a life. Anyway, I won't get any more specific. But the invitation is for bad people, for good people, for whosoever will. Because the reality is, church family, Jesus is a Savior for all peoples.
That's right.
Right? For everybody.
Thank God.
Yeah.
And why is it that it's the bad people that recognize him first and the quote-unquote good people don't feel the need to come to him? Because people have been imbued with this perception that good doesn't need God.
Self-righteous.
Let's put up the Isaiah 64:6 passage, please. We're just reading scripture here. All of us have become, how many of us?
All.
How many of us?
All.
All of us have become like one who is what?
Unclean.
And all our righteous acts are like what?
Filthy rags.
We all shrivel up like a leaf and like the wind. Our sins sweep us away. How many of us, listen to your family, are good deeds apart from the Lord? People, there are a lot of people today that pride themselves in being humanitarians, that pride themselves in being good people. Listen, this world needs a lot more good people, but it needs more than good people. It needs God's people.
Amen.
Because God's people can do good and give God all the glory. Some good people give themselves the glory.
Amen.
And they don't think they need the Lord. Listen to what God says about our goodness. Our best acts, apart from Christ, are like what?
Filthy rags.
You know what that's talking about there? I'm going to be there as polite as I possibly can. These are menstrual rags that are used up. I need to quit, don't I?
Yeah.
I got myself in a real pit. At least I recognize it, right?
Keep it real.
Thank you. Thank you. I will, brother. I'm crowing. And listen, to God, that's what our good acts are like. I want to impress upon you, church family, that goodness does not get you to heaven.
Amen.
There are a lot of good people in the earth that are busting hell wide open. Mm-hmm. Because they trust their goodness and they never trust Jesus Christ to save them.
That's right.
Can I get a hearty amen in that?
Amen.
Right? Can we just tell the truth? Shame the devil and tell the truth?
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, church family, listen, good people will go to hell, and God and bad people can go to heaven.
Amen. Thank God.
Aren't you thankful for this king that has spread this awesome banquet, wedding feast for everybody?
You know it.
Yes. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter how recent what you've done bad was bad, how recent it was, he is still a king that extends an invitation to us. And he provides his best in this wedding feast. But listen carefully, there's a plot twist. Let's put up that photo, please. There is a plot twist. There you go. Who watched that movie? Who watched that movie? We're going to have confessional after church service. No, teasing. Wedding Crashers. This parable... Even if Jesus had ended the parable where we stopped, that would have been good enough. But then he talks about somebody that he saw inside the feast. Listen carefully, church family. Inside the feast that did not dress appropriately for the wedding. You know what is understood in this parable? That all the bad people that attended, that all the good people that attended were given the appropriate attire when they entered the feast hall. Right? Mm-hmm. Who agrees with me that Jesus, when you come to him, he gives you a robe of righteousness?
Amen. Amen.
Not your righteousness.
That's right.
His righteousness.
Amen.
Amen.
Right?
Yep.
He gives you a robe of righteousness. And you now, in the eyes of the Father, you resemble Christ with his Christ's goodness, not my goodness.
Yeah.
See, that has to be that way, because otherwise you're not going to enter that wedding hall without being appropriately dressed, right?
Amen. Amen.
But who did the king see in the wedding? Uh-oh. Somebody who did not have the appropriate attire. What was he? A wedding crasher. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I had a buddy of mine many years ago. He told me that he and his older half-brother would go out to weddings and they would crash them. And they only went there to drink. And so they would crash them. And soon enough, like about an hour and a half, somebody would not recognize them. Somebody that knew who the invited guests were. And they would say, hey, who are you? Oh, well, my name is this. His name is this. And what are you doing here? You're not invited. And my friend would be like, well, isn't this the Mike Rupert wedding? No. Oh, shoot. Well, all right, thank you. And they would leave. And they would do that as a practice. And why did they do that? Free alcohol, free food, and maybe try to hit on the chicks, right?
Mm-hmm.
The single ones. But nowadays, never mind. So let's move on. But that's what is called a wedding crasher. Well, this guy was a wedding crasher. He somehow made it in. Listen, but what happened to him? The king brought him to account. You don't have the appropriate attire. What's Jesus saying? You cannot go to heaven on your goodness.
Amen.
Because our goodness is like what, church family?
Filthy rags.
Filthy rags. Do we understand what that is?
Mm-hmm.
Do we understand what they look like?
Yeah.
Okay. You understand all the senses that are involved with something like that? All the physical senses, that's all I need to say. You're liking this, right, Miss Laura? She gives me a cordial smile. Like, who says, land the plane? Let's land the plane, boss. Fantasy Island. The plane, boss. The plane. What was his name? Tattoo?
Tattoo.
Yeah. Tattoo. Thank you. Oh, gosh. We're on a rabbit trail. I'm trying to gather myself here, Craig. The more you laugh, the more lost I am. I'm trying to get my thoughts going in the right direction. Don't look at me and laugh. Listen, church family. Our goodness can never make it to heaven.
That's right.
We will be thrown out. Because only those wearing the robe of Jesus' righteousness are invited.
That's right.
And can stay in the wedding. Mm-hmm. We don't muster up that righteousness. That robe is given to us as we enter the hall.
Amen.
All right, who is blessed with the teaching of the word?
Yes.
Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this time together. Thank you for your precious word. Lord, we need the truth. We need the truth proclaimed. We need to know what a blessed Savior we have. Jesus, that you would invite the bad. No matter what they've done, no matter how awful the sins were, you would invite them to your precious wedding feast, Lord. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Help us never forget, Lord, that righteousness and a right standing with you, God, is a gift. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you. So, good. So, that's kind of might play into a little bit of my lesson. So, I don't know, this is old school, how old I am, songs that we used to sing, like, we don't sing the same songs these days that we used to sing when I was a kid, but we used to sing, like, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Have you heard that one? Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. Little hands, what you do, and little feet, where you go. How about you, big girl? Have you heard that? My goodness, I really feel old. Hey, Lisa's on my side. Oh, there, Robin, Terry. All right, I got a few people. Thank you. Oh, my kids have all heard it. So, anyway, so that leads me into why I just said this kind of plays in. Good example here, right? She's coming down to take part because she wants to learn more. Yeah. And same reason, because you want to learn more. So would you imitate Kayla in some way? You don't really have to. But you know, that's kind of what we do when we take something in with our eyes or our ears, what comes out our mouth, where we go, what our hands do. We've learned that somewhere usually, right? We've thought, oh, I saw so-and-so do it, or I heard this or that. So anyway, so we need to be careful who we imitate, don't we? But the main person we want to imitate is God and Jesus, right? And follow the Holy Spirit's leading. So in order to do that, I want to tell you that 1 Timothy 4:12 says, an example to the believers in the word, in conduct and love, in spirit and faith and in purity. That's what we're supposed to be, an example to others. So good ways to learn how to imitate is to read the Bible, read God's word, and to fellowship with others, and to be in prayer, talking to him and listening to him. So that's what I needed to tell you today. So if you'd like, the candy bars and stuff are over there. Thank you.